Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse the Planet is here. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Last week we preached and the curtain tore part one. This is part two. Do you realize that the torn curtain was a symbol full of eternal meanings? I literally mean eternal meaning. Jesus had come. Jesus had lived. Jesus had died. Jesus has risen or had risen. Think about that. All, everything open to mankind, spiritually, physically, and financially. Whoo, man, that it just touches me every time I think about that. So call a friend, tell them to turn that television on. Take some notes, get a pencil and paper, take some notes. Go back to part one and take your notes, and then now do part two. Watch. You know, I was such an evil man. You say, oh, Brother Judge, you can't be. Well, I was. See, the man you see is a newborn believer with light in him. But before I was saved, I'm telling you, I was a chief of sinners. I enjoyed sinning. I didn't care who I hurt. And I mean, I know that sounds like people say, there's no way you could be like, ask Kathy, ask Ricky. Ricky, oh, yeah, no, Ricky, I'm the brother. Am I telling the truth? You have no idea what I was capable of doing or what I did, and I ain't telling you neither. Yeah, because the statute of limitation didn't run out, praise God, and all that kind of. I mean, it didn't make no difference to me at all. You got in my way, you got out of my way. And I mean, just, and I don't care if it was spiritual, physical, or financial, it made no difference to me whatsoever at all. But when Jesus came, the only way I could get to God was without restrictions. I never forget one time I talked to the priest. I said, listen, can I talk to God? I need to talk to God. What's the matter with you? He was a Sicilian priest. What's the matter with you? You don't talk to God, you're talking to me. You understand? I said, well, do you talk to God? He said, no, I don't talk to God. I said, what do I want to talk to you for? I'm trying to get to the man. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? But that day, that Labor Day weekend, in 1974, at 8:45, the curtain tore. The curtain tore. And light came into God. Light came into me. And I stood before a holy God, and I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray other than Hail Mary and Our Father. That's all I knew. But Billy Graham knew how to pray, so I thought I'd use his name. I said, God, whatever Billy says. Boom, I got born again with whatever Billy says. What did Billy say? Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. Jesus rose from the dead, you'd be saved. My God, something changed. I went into that dark nightclub and I lit up the place because for the first time in my life, I saw sin. I had never seen it before. Sin to me did not exist. I did whatever I wanted to do, anything, anytime. All of a sudden, I thought, my God, look at the sin in here. And I knew nothing, Susan, of God other than just getting born again. But see, when the restriction goes away, see, that's the blindness. No fear, none whatsoever at all. I've never been afraid of God in my life after I got born again. But I remember Christian people say, God's going to kill you, try to make you afraid. No, he's going to love you if you just let him. So in Jesus, all man-made restrictions were torn aside. It meant the letting in of light. And I love this point God gave me today. There is no aristocracy in the New Testament church. See, only the high priest could go in there once a year. And if you wasn't the right person, you're not getting to God. But today, there is no aristocracy in the New Testament church. We all come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, nobody is better than anybody. God loves us all. He's no respecter for, there's no aristocracy. None whatsoever at all. In the Jewish dispensation, there was an aristocracy. In the Christian faith, even today, there's an aristocracy, and it should not be. All of us are free to just come in there and just say, hello, Jesus, hi, Jess, and he will receive you. I'm going to show you how powerful it meant when that curtain was torn. If Hitler would have asked God to forgive him, God would have brought him in there. Now, you would think, man, no, not Hitler. I mean, you talk about a demon-possessed man. Completely blind with rage and hatred. And nobody can hate that much without a devil inside of them. See, because Satan hates God, And Satan has been restricted, rejected, and awaiting confinement. Think about that. If Judas would have repented, just repented, he could have went in there. I mean, the whole world was opened up to God. No aristocracy, none whatsoever. All the same, one mind, one accord. That's why I believe the way I believe about people. I don't see color, caste, or sex. It don't make no difference to me. If you like you, I like you. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes people want to honor me, and I can understand that. And that's very kind. I'm saying, you know, Bridget, why don't you just go first? I don't need to be first. I can get in line. I can wait. I can stand. It's nice to go first. But it's a blessing that people want to honor you. Don't misunderstand. But what I'm saying is, I'm just the same. And, you know, the other day I was preaching there in downtown New Orleans, and we were having a big dinner. To make a long story short, the people that waited on us were sweet. And some lady behind me, one of the waitresses, she said, "Excuse me." And I couldn't see her. She was behind me. "Can I touch you?" I said, "Touch me?" And I turned around like that. And she said, "I've watched you on television for years, and I love your ministry because you're famous." I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not famous. I think you're famous. Can I touch you?" I said, "Help yourself." I thought, my God. See, she thought I was aristocracy. That I was really something. No, all I was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. What she was touching was not me, but the Christ that's in me. You see that? That's just truly amazing how wonderful that. That means there ain't nobody bigger or better than you are. And let me tell you about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. I call it the executive branch of God's government, and you need to honor that. Don't misunderstand me. But that doesn't mean actually they're more of a servant to you than you are to them. Actually, we serve you instead of you serving us. But a lot of times they get that mixed around and going the other way. And I understand you want to honor. I have no problem with that. But you have to remind yourself, never put restriction. Because Jesus, when he tore the curtain, he shut it all down. Isn't that amazing, man? That's why I'm free. That's why I'm happy. I know, I'm going to make somebody mad when I say that. I know God is pleased with me. You know why? Because I make him irresistible. I love that. Susan, I've never forgotten. I never will forget that. In fact, when I get to heaven, I said, "Do you know what Susan Kightley said about me?" And you know what he's going to say? "No, she said that about me in you." Yeah, so when you understand that, there's no aristocracy in the New Testament church. We all can come boldly to the throne of grace. Write this down. When that curtain tore, the power of sin was broken. The power of sin was broken. Man was freed in Christ's triumph. Think about that. In his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, when you think he's finished, you were set free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. How many times the devil's tried to tempt me with stuff? I used to drink a fifth of whiskey a day before I was saved. I would drink that. I'd start at about 6:30, eat eggs and bacon and scotch. And I'd be finished that, John, about 2:15. And then, by the time I got at night, I'd probably drink 15, 20 drinks. Dr. Hader, Tommy Hader, I think he's passed away now, he said, "Boy, you are going to have cirrhosis of the liver by the time you're 24 years old." I've been drinking since I was 6. Because my uncles would leave cans, half a can of beer. I got drunk when I was 6 one time. Fell off the back of a boat hanging on. Could have drowned. Loaded as, because I was drinking the beer that they left in the can. And they thought that was smart. Mama beat me sober. She was so glad I didn't drown. I started drinking. I would go. We used to have to bring a thermos. In those days, you brought your own little lunch, you know, to the elementary school. And they thought I had Kool-Aid and I had slow gin in the thermos. And I tell you what, in high school, by the time I got to algebra, whoo, A plus B equals C, baby. I was lit up. And then they found out and wanted to suspend me. You know what I mean? I mean, my God. And, you know, it was amazing how I enjoyed sin. And you know what? The church, to me, was just church. See, they weren't helping me. They were restricting me. I don't mean that to be cruel. I'm just telling you a truth. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you're not like us. I remember when I first got saved, the first thing they told me, they should have said, "Congratulations, you're born again. You need to cut that hair, boy."
I had long hair. And you know, I came out the 70s, hair, you know, throwing all that craziness. Immediately they were trying to clean the outside. In other words, they're trying to clean the fish before they catch it. Now, how are you going to clean the fish when he's alive? You got to catch the fish before you clean it. And even after I got born again, he ain't born again. He still got that rockiness in him. You know why? Why they thought that? Because they wanted to be the mediator between me and God. They wanted me to handle and accept their restrictions. I never forget one time I tell this couple, I didn't know y'all was black till you told me you were. I went preaching North Louisiana. And it's a white church. Now, I didn't know it was a white church. You know, I was just beginning of my ministry, man. I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, 78, I think it was. And it only sat maybe, 125 people, you know, something like that. So, and they introduced me. We have a Cajun preacher. So I just came to the platform. It didn't make me mad because I knew I was dealing with ignorant people. They wasn't dumb. They're just ignorant. That's all. So, and I saw a black couple with the two little kids coming in the back, and they sat on the last pew in the back. And I never thought nothing about it, you know, because I was not raised prejudiced. Now, my uncles and a lot of them were prejudiced, some of them, and my grandparents, but not my mama. Oh, no, we wasn't allowed. Oh, no. She said, I know meanness when I see it. She didn't know what the word prejudice was. She just called it meanness. So anyway, and I saw them, and I'm about ready to, you know, Susan to preach. And I saw Deacon get up, walked over, and went like this. I don't know. I couldn't hear what he said. And I saw the man go, oh, I'm sorry. So he texts his wife. They get up and they're starting to walk out the church like this with the kids. And, and me, when I see something, I'm going to express my opinion. I said, excuse me, where y'all going? Oh, Brother Jesse, something came up and we got to go. I said, something came up. But we just wanted to come see you and something got to go. I said, did that guy tell you to leave this church? Now, when you say stuff like that, boom, everything goes quiet. Because inquiring minds want to know. He said, now, Brother Joshua, he got that, Brother Joshua, this is a white church. He said that to the wrong man. And the pastor agreed with it. He's right behind me, John, about from here to here. And I said, where y'all going? They said, I said, are y'all going to lunch? Yeah. I said, I took my Bible, I said, well, I'm going with you. And I just walked out of there. In a sense, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna put up with that mess. That's wrong. See, that's separation. That's restriction. And Jesus tore the curtain. For the Father God, with the voice of Jesus. Let me say it again. The power of sin was broken. Man was freed in Christ's triumph. Now, you know who's the first person called him the Son of God? Was not the Jew. You know, we know the Father God, they both, you know. This is after when he died, the centurion. He was a Gentile. When he saw Jesus die and he hollered that loud, that man was very familiar with crucifixion. You can't holler when you die. You have no air in your lung. It's a terrible, torturous death. The centurion realized Jesus was not a criminal. Satan was. Write that down. The centurion realized Jesus was not a criminal. Anybody that died by crucifixion was considered criminals. Satan was. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. See, he heard about that curtain tore. And the curtain tore, see? I mean, immediately freedom began to go across that land. Whether you accepted it or not, it was there. Freedom is everywhere today, whether you accept it or not. That's why people want to come to America. Because so they can have freedom of speech, and they're trying to take that away from us. The Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Wrongs. The Bill of Rights. You have rights. You see, so everybody wants to get here, and why? Because it was founded upon Judeo-Christian ethic. And every country that stayed with Jesus Christ, that was founded on Judeo-Christian ethic, are all prosperous. The minute they start walking away from God, they get in debt, they get in crime, and guess what's happening in America? You see my point? At one time, England was prosperous. Boy. Why? Because they brought the gospel to the world. They crossed the oceans. But all, now only 1% of England, am I correct, Martin? I believe it's 1% of the United Kingdom goes to church now. Now, you know something. Now, where's the British Empire? Where's all this stuff? You see what I'm saying? Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. And even the communist nations, they're not worth much of nothing. There's just a set few because they happen to be in control. But buddy, you put God first, he's going to put you first in your health, in your spirit, and in your wallet, and in your purse. Listen to me, man. Let me say it again. The centurion realized Jesus was not a criminal. Satan was. Now, why did God tear that curtain? Well, we know to stop the separation. But people always wanted to know about God. But they were so afraid of him that they told Moses, let God talk to you. Because when God talks, he don't talk like this. Nomine Patri et Filii. And I'm not being critical of the Catholic Church. Let's all stand in prayer. No, when he talked, the mountain rumbles. They go, listen to the point. In the tearing of the curtain, the secrecy of God was revealed. And open. Found out that he wasn't this big bad God. He was this big loving Father. Isn't that amazing? Let me say it again. In the tearing of the curtain, the secrecy of God was revealed and open. Yeah. And so when I got born again, I felt, for lack of a better way to say, I felt so good, Kelly. For the first time, the sin was off of me. And I remember going out when I walked back up to the hotel room and I walked in and I said, Kathy, I got to get out of here. I got to quit this. And you couldn't make me quit music. I don't care. Music was my life. I've been playing music since I'm 6 years old. I play 11 instruments. I mean, I said, you ain't getting me out of the music. In fact, I tried to talk God out. I said, now listen, God, I don't make them drink. I don't make them smoke dope or run around with women. I'm just going to play my music, take my millions of dollars and go home. You know, take my money and just take off. You know, just go with it. You know what I'm saying? And he never told me to quit the music business. No, he never told me to get out the nightclubs. Oh, look at some of y'all. He never did. He never did. You know what he said? That's because I was thinking, you know, John, I said, hey, I mean, well, you work for a company that might be sinning and you get saved. Did you quit your job? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm pulling some restrictions away right now. Yeah. See, that's that religiosity, see? Yep. And so watch, you know what I did? He asked me a question. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. He said, do you love that more than you love me? Ooh, I went. You know what I said? I got to think about that. Because music was my life. That's what I did. Not only for a living, but Ron, I just flat love playing music. I said, and when you got a good band cooking, I can see y'all, boy, when the worship team's cooking, Renee's, you know, got a little leg flipping and flopping in the back there, and my man with the black hat on, and then you got Joy doing this, and our brother just beating the drums, and then we had Katie hitting that wonderful saxophone or clarinet, whatever you call that thing. Oh, he's cooking. That's as good as it gets, man. When you're just flowing, you know, and you're jamming, what we call jamming, you know. He just simply asked me the question. And it wasn't no guilt, no nothing. Because, see, I was free. I was free. Do you love that more than you love me? I must have thought about that for a good 2 weeks. And I remembered the day that I decided to make my decision. I love the play. How else am I going to make my living? This is a boy that knows nothing about the Word of God because he didn't even know how to pray the salvation prayer. He just said whatever Billy said. And I looked and I thought, I'm not losing this. I said, no, Lord. I love you more than I love this. I'm leaving this. I'm the one made that decision. God did not make that decision for me, John. See, I was still free. And I gave my notice and I walked out. And it took 4 months to get me out of the music business. Because you just don't quit. When you're under those kind of, when you get on that level of music, you're signing contracts, you know, it's a lot of legal things and legal issues and things of that nature. And when I walked out, my God, I went from thousands, oh God, so much money that I got a job at Patterson Truck Line and I made $1.75 an hour. That's 1975. I was so glad. I remember when I got my check, Kelly, I thought, I made this in 50 seconds. And that was 50 hours of work. I didn't care. I was so happy. Kathy was so happy.
Now, that's what freedom does, ladies and gentlemen. It makes you happy. Praise God. When that curtain tore for me on Labor Day weekend 1974, all man-made restrictions were torn aside. The secrecy of God was revealed and opened to me. And every day I'm learning more and more about this God. And I do that through not only relationship, but fellowship. Oh, my God, I like fellowship with the God. I like saying, hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. It's just good. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, Jesus tore the curtain and opened up a life of freedom to you and me. Are you living free? That's a good question. Maybe you've been restricted by sin or sickness or despair or depression or despondency. Christ had tore that curtain, and Christ can tear that away from you right now. Can I pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name. I ask you to help people today, spiritually, physically, financially, every area, Lord. As I look into that camera, God, I ask you to help them and tear down those walls that are trying to close in on people and bless them in the city, bless them in the field, bless them going in, and bless them going out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I like praying for you. You know what? Because prayer works. I like to say this, that faith destroys all distance between me and you. I mean, like, if you're in your living room, I'm there too. And so is God. Now, I may be in a studio behind a desk or something like that, but I'm telling you, God is right here and God is right there. Think about that, man. It's so wonderful what Jesus did for me. I love being free. You know, I've been royally persecuted for being free. I mean, you know what? I refuse to be in bondage. See, sometimes the church, makes your bondage chains and makes you think it's jewelry. But when it actually it's chains and it's in bondage, man, Jesus broke us from that completely free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Stay right there. I'm going to be back in just a moment. The show is not over. I got some more things I want to talk to you about, and I hope you're enjoying this message. Watch this and be blessed. I'll be right back in just a second. My March partner offer and the curtain tour is full of revelation about how God tore the veil between himself and mankind. Jesus came and broke the power of sin, and man was freed in Christ's triumph. There's absolutely nothing standing between us anymore. What does God say? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You don't have to hesitate. You can go boldly to the throne of grace. Go to jdm.org and get your copy today.
Do you realize that God wants you to thrive, prosper, and achieve everything He's called you to do? Well, in my book, Suited for Success, I'm going to show you how to be fully equipped with all the essentials that you need to live a victorious and prosperous life. Your victory has already been settled. You can and will accomplish every dream God put in your heart. Suited for Success. Order your copy at jdm.org today.
I really am excited about our March product offer. It's Kathy's popular book, Suited for Success. It will show you how you can achieve everything in your life that God has called you to do. Not some things, everything. If you're ready to tap into your divine potential, this book is for you. How do I get it, Brother Jesse? Go to jdm.org to get your copy. It will bless you, man. Suited for success. And I like what she says on the back of it. Suit up and win. Praise God. She knows what she's talking about. You will be blessed. Glory to God. Thank you, partners, once again for your faithful financial support. Well, we've been preaching 48 years and never have had a financial deficit. Why? I trust God. You trust God. We both trust God. We all trust God. And trust produces things that just blows people's socks off. I thank you for what you financially do for this ministry. Nothing too small and nothing too big. You know what? But I also believe in being loyal and doing what I say. And in all these years, I haven't had these scandals. Now, some people said I did this and did that. I didn't do any of that stuff. I mean, my Lord, they're mad at me because I'm a blessed man. Well, it ain't my fault. It's not my fault. Jesus said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. I remember him every day. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. What do you want me to do? That's what the word of God says. Deuteronomy 8:18. Partners, thank you for helping me. Let me tell you something. When I go out there preaching that gospel, I'm not alone. You are with me. Do you understand that? I sense your presence because you sent me there. Not that they be playing around, go and see something. It's to preach this uncompromised word of God. And I'll tell you what, I'll take the hatred of the world to live in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, partners, for helping us today. We've got great projects that are on our desk, and we ask you to give greatly and believe for the hundredfold. Don't let nobody talk you out of that. It's in red, Mark 4, Mark 10. Go get it and receive it. Man, I get excited when I talk about that, but the church will tell you can't have it. God says you can. Now, don't miss next week, okay? This is Jesse the Planters from New Orleans, Louisiana, saying we love you. We really do. And thank you, partners, for being so courteous and kind to us. See you next week. May God richly bless you. Did you know angels are real and many of them are here today? God's word is full of supernatural experiences by people just like you and me. My new book, The Hidden Help, I share a few of those biblical stories and some of my own personal experiences with angelic beings. Remember, this world isn't all there is. You are unique in God's creation, and the hidden help is always here for you. Order your copy today at jdm.org. Are you ready to believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible, because it's doable? In my new book, Believe, you will be challenged to believe the uncompromised word of God so that you can receive all that God has for your life.
Yes, it's time to unlock your faith in God's promises and believe the truth of the gospel. For your donation of $5 or more, you can receive your physical copy or digital download of Believe at jdm.org.
It's time to make your faith work.
Yes.
Order your copy today and remember to believe. You can be raised from the dead. There's a vast difference, you've heard me say it before, between being raised from the dead and being resurrected from the dead. When you're raised from the dead, and many people have been raised from the dead, and it's documented, but they die again. But when you're resurrected from the dead, you never die again. Why don't you die again? Because life is greater than resurrection.